And now to my message on today's broadcast, entitled 40 Days Till Doomsday. I'm going to read to you from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, at verses 4 and 5, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray today that there might be a great spiritual awakening in our city. May we recognize that soon the judgment day is coming, and the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the world. We would pray today for those who are listening who have never trusted the Savior. May they come to know Him in this hour. We would pray for those who are sick and shut in, those who have problems and difficulties and trials that are pressing upon them in this hour. May the Holy Spirit bless them and strengthen them and support them and encourage them. In this broadcast hour is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. The book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. 40 days till doomsday. Never before nor since has a city anywhere on this globe experienced such a revival as Nineveh experienced in the days of Jonah. This incident in the city of Nineveh reminds us of the truth that God's Spirit will not always strive with men. God draws a line on cities, on nations, and on civilizations, and God draws a line on men. God's patience finally wears out. Listen to what the Bible says. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 3, it is written, My spirit shall not always strive with men. In Romans, chapter 1, three times we read, And God gave them up. God gave them up. I repeat, God gave them up. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, at verse 1, it is written, He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And then listen to these awesome words from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Then shall they seek me early, but they shall not find me. You see, our God is a God of mercy, but He also deals in judgment. God always gives a warning before He strikes. God always gives an advance notice before He moves. He always gives time for repentance. For example, in the days of Noah, God gave the men of Noah's generation 120 years to repent before He sent the flood. Nineveh was the capital of the great Assyrian Empire. Nineveh fell finally into the hands of the Babylonians in 612 B.C. But in its heyday, it was one of the greatest cities in history. The prophet Jonah tells us that there were 120,000 babies too young to tell their right hand from their left, which suggests that there must have been 500, perhaps 750,000, or even 1 million people living in the city of Nineveh at that time. The Bible tells us that Nineveh was a city of 3 days' journey. That is, it was 48 miles in its expanse. Now compare that to Los Angeles, which is only 30 miles across. The walls of the city of Nineveh were 100 feet high. They were 87 feet wide, and 8 chariots could ride abreast atop the walls of the city of Nineveh. It was a city of lust, luxury, and leisure. It was a city of trees, flowers, and parks. Nineveh was a city of books, brains, and beauty. Incidentally, Nineveh means an agreeable place of pleasant dwelling. But there was a great deal in the city of Nineveh that was neither agreeable nor pleasant in the eyes of the Lord. And when you look about our fair city of Fort Worth, you will immediately discover that there's a great deal that's not agreeable to God and not pleasant in the eyes of the Lord in our own city. Inside the city walls of Nineveh, corruption and crime were in abundance. The prophet Nahum called it a bloody city full of lies and robbery. Nineveh was a city of adultery and unhappy marriages. It was a sick society that smiled upon abortion, divorce, suicide, infidelity, and pornography. Well, that sounds like a description of our city. I'm wanting to go on record today as saying that I'm proud of the district attorney and the local law enforcement officers who are cracking down on pornography in the city of Fort Worth. I think Christians all over the city ought to pray for them and encourage them to keep on cracking down until the filth and the rot of our city is cleaned up and God will send us a revival. When we look at Nineveh with all of its sin and sensuality, we wonder what chance a hellfire damnation preacher like Jonah would have there. But God knew what he was doing when he sent Jonah to Nineveh. God wanted Nineveh to wake up. God wanted Nineveh to have a great revival. And God wanted Nineveh to be stirred with a message of repentance. Jonah cried, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The message of Jonah was directed to the people of the city. Jonah preached repentance. It was repent or perish. Repent or else the judgment of God will fall on the city. You know, I believe God wants to do the same thing for our great city today. I'm praying that God will build fires in all the pulpits of the city of Fort Worth and that our great city will experience a revival in 1974. A revival beginning in this city that would spread across this nation and ultimately around the world before Jesus comes again. God wants Fort Worth to wake up. God wants Fort Worth to repent. God wants Fort Worth to get right. God wants Fort Worth to have a revival and a great spiritual awakening. You know, God set a time limit on Nineveh. Listen again to the words of my text. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Could it be that God is setting a time limit on America? With all of the problems, with all of the corruption, with all of the restlessness, with all of the disturbing elements in economy, in government, in religion, in education, in labor and management, and in all phases of national life, could it be that God is placing a time limit on America, giving her a final opportunity to repent? Could it be that God is placing a time limit on our city? And even more personally and pointedly, could it be that God is setting a time limit on your life? Could it be that this is the last gospel message that you will ever hear? Could it be that this will be the last opportunity that you will ever have to get right with God? My friend, God hates your sin, but God loves your soul. I read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is written in 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 9, "God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God cannot and God will not let men get by with their sin. Let me give you an instant replay on that statement. God cannot and God will not let men get by with their sin. You may think you're getting by. You may think you're fooling your wife or your husband or your family. You're not doing anything of a kind. God is marking your life every day that you live. Listen to his word. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are three laws in sowing and reaping. Number one, you will always reap what you sow. Number two, you will always reap later than you sow. And number three, you will always reap more than you sow. Some of you listening to this broadcast think that there are many standards of right and wrong in the world of the 20th century. In this age of permissiveness, everybody has his own standard. Everybody does his own thing. But wait, this is not true. There is not one standard of righteousness for California, and another for Florida, and another for Texas, and another for Babylon, and another for Rome, and another for your life and my life. No. There is but one standard of right and wrong in the world today, and that is God's standard. If it was wrong to lie and cheat and steal in Moses' day, it's wrong to lie and cheat and steal today. If it was wrong to covet in the Old Testament period, it's wrong in 1974. If it was wrong to commit adultery when the Ten Commandments were written, it's wrong 3,500 years later. Sin is sin, and wrong is wrong, and you cannot make a right out of a wrong, however you look at it, however you treat it. You can change your name, change your environment, change your number, change your place of employment. You can do all of these things, but wrong is wrong in your life, and sin is sin in your life, and you must pay for the sin that you commit. God sent Jonah to cry aloud against the sins of Nineveh, and God has not changed. God is sending preachers today to cry aloud against America, against the filth and the rot and the corruption and the sin that's abroad in our land today. And God is sending preachers today to cry against the sins of our city. You see, there comes a time when a city must repent or else. There comes a time when a nation must repent or else. There comes a time when you must repent or else. The message of the Bible is a message of repentance. The same message that Jonah preached to Nineveh in the long ago is more badly needed in this hour than any other message. The time has come when we must preach that God will judge all men. Let me give you this solemn warning. You can go too far and presume on the mercies of God to your own damnation. Why do you suppose God led me to preach this message on this broadcast? I'll tell you why. It's just for you. God is closing in on you. God is setting a time limit on your life. God is calling you now to repent. Nineveh might have laughed at Jonah. Nineveh might have told him to take his fish story somewhere else. They might have sent out the National Guard to arrest him. They might have fined him for preaching on the street without a permit. They might have ignored him as some crackpot who was predicting the end of the world. But Nineveh did none of these things. The Bible tells us that Nineveh repented. Nineveh closed up her night spots and tore down her idols. Nineveh turned to God. Even the king proclaimed a great fast and a great time of mourning and a great time of repentance. That's what our nation needs today. If we want the solution to Watergate and the solution to corruption in politics and the solution to the energy crisis and the solution to all of the problems that face us as a nation, I firmly believe that if this nation would get on its knees and call on God and fall on its face in repentance, God would hear from heaven and God would solve all of these problems for us. You know, they had some Watergates in Nineveh. They had some political corruption in Nineveh. They had a lot of difficulties in Nineveh, but the king got right and the people got right and God spared that city. Some of you listening right now might say, why, that foolish, fanatical, fundamental Baptist preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. We've never had it so good in our nation. We've never had it so good in our city. How could God judge us? How could God bring His wrath upon us? Wait. This city, the city of Fort Worth, is no better than Nineveh. And the United States of America is no better than Assyria. God will judge this nation just like He judged Assyria. And God will judge this city just like He has judged all the cities of the universe. Jesus said, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment and condemn this generation," speaking of His own generation. Now let me ask you this. If that be true of Jesus' generation, if the men of Nineveh will rise up in the day of judgment and condemn the generation in which Jesus lived, how much more will those men condemn our generation after we have had 2,000 years of gospel preaching? America is without excuse. Fort Worth is without excuse. There's not a city on the face of the earth that's had a better opportunity to repent and get right with God than the city of Fort Worth. There are churches on every corner. The gospel goes out week after week, month after month, and year after year. This city will stand before God without an excuse. It would be a horrible thing, I think, to die in the city of Fort Worth and go out into eternity unprepared to meet God. What a tragedy. It was just 40 days till doomsday for Nineveh. And it might be less time for your city and mine. And it might be less time than that for you as an individual. You may have already eaten your last breakfast. You may have already punched the clock for the last time. This may be your day. This may be the final opportunity that you have to get right with God. If you feel God's Spirit dealing with you, you had best respond today. Today is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You best believe. You best surrender. Answer. You best repent of your sins and turn by faith to God and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. And you had best do it now before doomsday comes in your life. I have a footnote and I shall be through. If doomsday catches you unprepared, you'll be unprepared forever because there is no second chance. It's now or never. It's today or no other opportunity for you. God is calling you right now to repent. And I trust that by your radio, wherever you are, you'll confess your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and trust Him as your own personal Savior. May the Lord bless you as you do it right now by your radio. And let me remind you again that if you would like a cassette recording of this message, if you'll write this week to Worth Baptist Hour, you'll receive a cassette recording of this message, 40 days until doomsday, simply by writing. It will be sent you free and postage paid. Write today to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And so until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And we admonish you, as always, to keep on praying.